I want to also thank everyone tonight. It's been such an incredible 2 days. And it's an amazing thing that God is doing here. It's going to take time to interpret it. We were praying as a team to really be able to interpret what the Lord's been speaking to us, and that the Lord would seal it all in our bones, that we wouldn't lose anything of what's been taking place here in the last 2 days. You know, it's amazing to me because we've met Dr. John here a couple of times. We've met him in Australia. We've been to Malta to where he is, and Joe and Julie go to Malta. We all go to Uganda. We've been ministering in the same place in Uganda. You know, it's just incredible, the amazing connections. And then today, when I went upstairs for lunch, I thought, well, I see these two young men at the end of the table. I haven't met them. Let me go sit with them. And I didn't realize it was Pastor Jacques because he wasn't in his suit. And he said, have you ever been to South Africa? I said, no, but we have a serious invitation. We're waiting for the right timing. We've been praying for 3 years for South Africa. And you just see all these connections that God is making. I can just see them for ourselves. And I imagine you can all see them as well. Even one of the Bridge for Peace team is being billeted at someone's home. And I said, I know there's wonderful things coming out of that as well. But one of the sweetest things that happened for me today, Simon, was it was lunchtime and our team was going over to minister at the school. And Dr. John was just flowing in the anointing and the time was getting a little late. And Simon came over and said, do you guys want to have some lunch? We said, yeah, we have to kind of hurry. And he said to me, well, you know the way. It's the first time I didn't have to have an escort to go upstairs. And you know, when you're at home, people don't escort you around. They just say, you know the way to the table. It's time. So it was so sweet to me because I do feel now that this is home. And I just want to thank all of you for your incredible, astonishing hospitality, for your love that just so abounds, and ministering at the school today with the girls. You know, we went to start to begin to show them the laying on of hands. And what moved all of us as a team so much was just moving around, looking at these girls, listening so attentively to each other, praying with so much care and so much love for each other. It was an amazing experience. And I thought, well, you know, as they say in America, I don't know if you say it here, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. You know, so I thank you with all my heart. And, you know, just as I was thinking about what we do here as we come to the Servants of Jesus Conference, you know, and in Bridge for Peace, as we're growing, and as you're growing here, you know, we're redoing all our brochures, our website, and it's people like Sally and Tim, you know, it's people like Renee and the Tamora team that are new to Bridge for Peace. So Ed and myself, it's 20-some-odd years old, but they come in at a new point. They see something new, and we're coming in a way, in a new point to this prayer conference, and I see something new. Maybe new for you, something you've seen but maybe not identified. I don't think the Servants of Jesus Conference is really the right name. I think it's more an international summit. This is a gathering of the nations. Our heart is for the nations. And when you come here and you meet people, South Africa, Malta, we're all coming together from all the different continents to come here, because God has drawn us here, Malaysia, all over the world, coming here, Nigeria, because God is drawing people here. And so I really believe this is an international summit that we're participating in, and I want to give God the glory and the praise for what he's been doing. It's so great to be a part of this, of God's calling to the nations from this place. It's an amazing thing. And even as Brian was here this morning talking about the nations, and as he spoke about Lance Elder and the prophetic word given 25 years ago, and my husband Ed was just with Lance Elder last week, Lance Lambert, before we came here. You know, it's just like amazing the things that God's doing. But I thought about last night, and when I was here, and Pastor Jacques was speaking, and I heard him say a move of God. And in that moment, there was just a flash in my mind about a place of revival. I said, Lord, is this the place? Is this where it's going to break out, Lord? Is this the place? Is this the place? And then later on, Pastor Jacques momentarily mentioned the Argentine revival. And Ed and I have been parts of Pensacola revival, Pennsylvania revival, different revivals. And I thought, is this the place, Lord? Is this the place? And then I thought about a word that the Lord gave to us 4 years ago. 4 years. We come in on the plane and we're having breakfast at Sally and Tim's. There were two others on the team that year. And we had, I think, a spontaneous prayer meeting. It wasn't something planned. We were just having breakfast. And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit moved. And the woman on the team said, New South Wales, I am waiting for you to respond. And the Lord gave me the second part of that word, which is contingent on the response. From New South Wales will be a cradle of a revival to rock the world. 4 years ago, I delivered that message. It had a lot of, I want to say, heaviness with it to the place where we were delivering it, saying no more backbiting, no more gossiping, prepare your hearts, no more disunity, move in harmony. And ultimately, that place, though they said they had received the same word from a minister from a totally different place 3 months before, ultimately they severed their connection with us. And we were also sensing a timing to move on. And I honestly forgot the word until tonight about 5:30. The Lord brought it back to my mind. And as we were here tonight, I remembered something God's done for us in Bridge for Peace just recently, as we also look towards the orphanage in Uganda, that we have our own dramas, we have our own ways in Bridge for Peace, and one of the things the Lord showed to us in 2002 is a song that we sing, a Bridge for Peace song, back to back, shoulder to shoulder, step by step, moving together. And for us, that's back to back. We dance it, actually. We stand in a circle back to back. And that means I can't see my blind spot. I can't see the enemy coming behind me, but the person behind me in the circle sees it. Shoulder to shoulder, we lean in. No one carrying too much of a load, but walking shoulder to shoulder. So each one bears their share. Step by step is just moving in timing with the Lord, and moving together is no one left behind and no one running ahead. And so we explain back to back that song. We explain it that way. And just about 2 months ago, the head of our team in Cincinnati met with a ministry that builds orphanages, a Christian ministry. That's what they do. They build orphanages all over the world. And some of them had just come back from Nigeria and met with our guy in Cincinnati to talk about orphanages. And friends, the name of the ministry was Back to Back. And I laughed because I thought the Lord must laugh in heaven when I'm thinking I'm explaining what back-to-back means. And he's got so much more meaning to that from 2000, early 2000. And Joe and Julie, I had a sense of the Lord laughing tonight. But what I had a sense of him laughing about is that building. Which direction is it? Right there. I thought about, as you know, Pastor Jacques, the revival centers that had to build overflow buildings later. And I thought about Joe saying, well, it's going to be classrooms, it's going to be this, it's going to be that, it's going to be that. And I was wondering what the Lord has really got in mind. And I want everyone to stand up and face that direction where the building is. Lord, you're waiting for New South Wales to respond. And we're here tonight, Lord, to respond to you, Lord. We're here to respond to you, Lord God. And we're stretching out our hands tonight, Lord, because you're stretching out your hand from heaven. And we're only doing here on earth what we see you doing in heaven. You're stretching out your hand, Lord God. You're stretching out your hand, Lord. And you want to use New South Wales for a cradle of revival that'll rock the world. And Lord, I just think of the Wales revival so long ago that went all around the world. And now there's New South Wales, a new place emerging, Lord. But your heart is the same. Your heart is the same. And Lord, we're not here for something local. We're here for something worldwide. This is an international summit. And we release the power of the blood of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. We speak a release tonight in the name of Jesus, the power of the blood. Thank you, Lord, that you say, as you've said to Bridge Repeats, you say it in this house tonight from the book of Isaiah, I will assign to you the estates that lie waste. Lord, that building is lying in waste. Assign it to us, Lord. Assign it to us, Lord. Assign it to us, Lord. We will use it, Lord God, for the souls of men that lie in waste, Lord. For the souls that lie in waste, Lord God. We'll use it for the souls that lie in waste, Lord. Assign it to us, Lord. Assign it to us, Lord. Assign it to us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Oh, Lord, we're saying yes, Lord. We want to be the cradle of a revival that'll rock the world, Lord. We're responding to you, Lord God. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by your Spirit, Lord God. We believe, Lord. We believe, Lord. We believe, Lord. We believe, Lord. Glory, Lord. Glory, Lord. Glory, Lord. Glory, Lord. Praise you. Praise you. Praise you. Praise you. It's got to be a move of God. It's a move of God. It's a move of God. Oh, Lord, this place, the place, the place. Lord, we know, even as you talk about a cradle, Lord, that cradles are messy, Lord. Infants are messy, Lord God. Babies are messy, Lord. Lord, I see the hearts that you prepared in this room. I see the hearts you prepared over there at the school, Lord. Hearts of love, hearts of caring, hearts of concern, hearts of kindness and hospitality. Oh, Lord, use this place according to your perfect will, Lord. And Lord, I know that we will not fall short of your perfect will in this place, Lord God. We will not. And we praise you and we trust you. And we're going to move in you. We're going to follow you, Lord. Nobody running ahead. Nobody lagging behind. But each one of us moving in your perfect will for the glory of your name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Shout to the Lord. Julie's saying, shout to the Lord. Lift up a shout to the Lord.
Victory to the Lord! Victory to the Lord! Victory to the Lord! Victory to the Lord! Hallelujah! 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 Hallelujah!
I'm trying to get it on. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thanks. Over Julie. Praise God. We're a part of it. We're all a part of it. Isn't it exciting?
Yes.
You know, I even was praying with a sister today in the Lord, saying everything she's plowed, everything she's planted is going to bear fruit. Now, the Lord showed me a long time ago. He said, Annette, what do you care if it bears fruit while you're on earth, if you see it on earth, or if you see it from the heavenly places? What do you care? What difference? You're a part of it. You're a part of it. But I think we're a part of something we're going to see. Something we're going to see. I don't think it's going to be from the heavenly places. I think we're going to see it here in our lifetime. Oh, I thank the Lord. He's so good. He's so great. Oh, he always does more than anything we could ever hope for, anything we could ever expect. Thank you, Jesus. Well, the title of my talk tonight, which the Lord gave me when I was in the USA, which my team will attest to, is very rare. It's usually the day of, on the way, was move. Was move. You've got to move. It's very easy. Say it with me. You've got to move. You've got to move. You've got to move. You've got to move. When God is ready, you've got to move. You've got it now. You've got to move. You've got to move. You've got to move. You've got to move. When God is ready, you've got to move. You've got to move. Come on. You've got to move. You've got to move. You've got to move. You've got to move. When God is ready, you've got to move. You've got to move. Hallelujah. And that's a song from the West Indies. So we'll bring them in here tonight too. God bless them. Hallelujah. We got it to send us a man from the West Indies to give us that word in January. And we've been living it out ever since. And I know you're living it too. And everything that we've heard here, everything's about moving. And I just thank God that he's on the move and that we're with him. And we're going to talk a lot tonight about moving in the timing of God, about, you know, the regret of delay, the regret of missing God's timing. There's no pain deeper in my life. And honestly, I can only say there's once that I know that I missed it, only once, and I still bear a regret for that. There's nothing deeper, no regret more deeply seated in your heart than knowing you missed something God was calling you to. Because you can never go back. You can't relive that moment. He can't orchestrate that timing that he orchestrated for you again. It's only one timing. So we're going to talk about that because I don't want anybody here to miss it. And we're going to talk about perseverance. So these are some of the different things I want to talk about tonight in terms of moving. Timing, the rewards of instant obedience, the regrets of delay, and perseverance. And we're going to start right away. Those of you who have your Bibles tonight, we're going to go to Moses. Don't you love Moses? I love Moses. Moisha, hallelujah. So Moses, chapter 4, Exodus chapter 4. And then Moses answered, "But suppose they do not believe me or listen to me, but say the Lord did not appear to you." The Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" I love the way the Lord sees what's in his hand, you know. The way the Lord gets us to be aware of what we've got in our hands. You know, it's there all the time. But he asks us that one question. It's like, "Oh, thanks, Lord. What is that in your hand?" He said, "A staff." And he said, "Throw it on the ground." So he threw the staff on the ground, and it became a snake, and Moses drew back from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Reach out your hand and seize it by the tail." So he reached out his hand and grasped it, and it became a staff in his hand, so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob and Isaac, has appeared to you. Now, I love when you get to travel because you get to learn things. As you know, I'm from New York. I don't know anything about snakes. But when I came here to Australia, I was out in the country, you know, I met people who knew all about snakes so I could learn some things. Now, I have to think of Moses. He's terrified. And the God says to him, "Well, you're scared, so I'm going to comfort you. Throw that thing down." And maybe he thinks, "Oh, he's going to get some comfort." I don't know what kind of comfort he thought, but I'm sure he didn't think he was going to look at a snake. eyeball to eyeball. I'm sure that's not the comfort and the reassurance that Moses was looking for, but that's what happened. Now, what I learned here in Australia, I met a lady who, as kids, they used to go around collecting snakes, keeping them in a big barrel, poisonous snakes, milking the venom out of them, and then selling that venom for medical reasons. I was like, wow, I was really impressed, you know. But she says, you always grab the snake behind the head, which makes sense if you think about it, or else it could turn and bite you, you know. So here's Moses got the comfort of a nice, big, fat snake around his feet now. And then God, in our merciful, kind, loving God, to comfort Moses, he tells him, pick it up by the tail. Now, I'm sure Moses knew the potential. So he does, as you know, he picks it up by the tail, and it became the staff again. Now, what I want you to think about here is that what's happening for Moses is he's in a private place. He's in a safe place. There's no one to see if he made an idiot out of himself, right? It's between him and God. And that's the way God trains us. One-on-one between him and you in a private place. And then after that, he takes us to our larger prayer group, and he lets us practice discernment. Is that a word from the Lord? We prophesy. We take a risk. And then someone affirms that. We say, wow, that was the Lord. Or someone, you know, or it kind of falls flat and you think, well, maybe that wasn't the Lord after all. It's in those places that we learn. It's in those places that we take a risk. And that's what those places are for, you know, to grow. And so don't be afraid to move. Don't be afraid to move in your prayer groups. Don't be afraid to move in the larger community in a safe place like this when God puts a word. Don't be afraid to come up here and dance. You see Julie up here dancing, having a great time, saying, wow, I wish I could go up there. You can. All are invited. Don't be afraid to move. This is a safe place. This is the place to learn. This is the place to train. And why are we training and learning in here? Because we're going to go out there. And it's not going to be that easy. But you build your confidence here. That's what it's for. Now, I want you to turn with me to Exodus 7. Verse 8. Now, Moses is in a very public place. So public, he's right into Pharaoh's palace. An esteemed place. A public place. A scary place. And he's there. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, when Pharaoh says to you, perform a wonder, then you shall say to Aaron, take your staff and throw it down before Pharaoh, and it will become a snake. Moses says, no problem. I've been there, done that. Right? Why? Because he practiced it. You know where the Lord, in a safe place. Now he takes him out and he elevates him, brings him right into Pharaoh's palace. And it's like, hey, got it covered, Lord. You know, he built confidence. He built trust. It was all right. So that's what happened. So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did as the Lord commanded. Aaron threw down his staff before Pharaoh and his officials, and it became a snake. And Moses thought they were all going to go, wow, right? Wow, you guys have to be the real article, and we're going to do exactly what you want. So, how does it turn out? Then Pharaoh summoned the wise men and the sorcerers, and they also, the magicians of Egypt, did the same by their secret arts. Each one threw down his staff, and they became snakes. Each one. So here they're thinking, this is a big deal. They throw down, they get a snake. Now they've got all these bunch of snakes. What do you think Moses was thinking at that time? But what happened? Moses' snake, Aaron's snake, swallowed up all the rest. See, so when you're going to come to a higher level, a higher level, a higher level, and you're going to meet obstacles at that level that you didn't meet at the level before. This is a training ground. We're all in a training ground now, but God's plan is to take us up to higher levels. And we get there, you're going to meet an obstacle. Now, when he met the obstacle, he didn't know anything about snakes, but he knew something about God, didn't he? He knew something about God, and that's what we have to know. We have to know about God. Even as a brother was singing here, I was like so moved when he says, God's coming into the house of your heart. He's coming to the house of your heart. And I thought it was just like Simon saying, go ahead, you know the way. You know, when God comes into the house of our heart, he knows the way. And, you know, we want to get to a place where this is the heart of God, isn't it? The word of God is the heart of God. And I want to be in a place where I don't need somebody to take me on a tour. I want to know where it is. Maybe I don't know the chapter and the verse, but I want to know the book. I want to have read the book. And I'll tell you what I do, as just do it. I always have a Bible I'm reading cover to cover. Right? So I'm reading other Bibles, and I'm using other Bibles, and I'm doing different studies. But at the same time, I always have a Bible I'm reading cover to cover. Finish that one, get another version I'm interested in, cover to cover. Finish that one, get another cover to cover. Cover to cover. It's a story. Cover to cover. How many bestsellers are there? And you're like, don't tell me the end. I don't want to know the end. I want to get from the beginning to the end. But how many times do we overlook going from the beginning to the end in the book of God? The book of God. So we want to make sure that we know the house. We know where God lives. We know his word. So available to us. I don't want a tour guide all my life. You know, there was a time I needed a tour guide through. And I appreciate people bringing fresh revelation. I appreciate that. But I want to know my way in my Father's house. Do you want to know your way in your Father's house? Yeah, so let's make a commitment to that, to really get into the Word of God, to know our way in his house. And then whatever happens, even though he's going to take you to higher levels, it's going to take you into places you never thought you would go. It's going to happen. We were called to minister to the Queen of Uganda when there was a problem in the house. The problem was that there was a member of in the house, her mother-in-law, doing witchcraft against her. And we were called into the house, and nobody knew about that. We were the only ones that knew, even on the team. And the Lord called us to minister in front of the whole cabinet. And the Lord gave us wisdom to minister that at the end, the chamberlain said, nobody knew what you were even saying, but the queen understood you and I understood you. Why? Because I know my Father's house. I know my way in my Father's house. And he wants us all to be at home in his house. And he doesn't want anybody to have an escort. He wants you to feel free to go to the table of bread and eat to your heart's desire. And that's what happened for Moses. That's what's going to happen for us, that we'll be trained in public, that we're going to in private, and then we move into the public realm, and we're going to have the right timing. When God's moving, that's when we're going to move. That's what Moses did. He never promoted himself. When God moved him, he moved. And he was ready because of the things he did in the private place with God. I want to move to regrets of delay. I want to move to the Israelites in Numbers 14. You know, this is when Moses, the Pharaoh finally, oh, you know, I want to say one more thing. Pharaoh's heart is hardened. I have to say this, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. I have to say that, friends, on that Exodus scripture. Pharaoh's heart is hardened, which comes again and again and again. But that verse 13, after Aaron's staff swallowed up the snakes, Pharaoh's heart was hardened. And I want to say this to you. You know, the word of God says, I will make your forehead hard against their foreheads. And we'll have scriptures that define us. That's Ezekiel 3, verse 8. See, I have made your face hard against their faces, and your forehead hard against their foreheads, like the hardest stone, harder than flint. I have made your forehead. Do not fear them or be dismayed by their looks. In other words, they don't have anything else but their looks. Do you know? There's nothing there but their looks. So don't be dismayed. Now, you're going to have scriptures that are going to define you and define your mission statement and define your purpose. And wherever you go, people are going to prophesy that same word over you. And when I come to this word, you know, Moses' forehead had to be hard against Pharaoh's forehead, right? I mean, Moses' heart was hard, but Pharaoh's forehead had to be hard against him. Now, Moses didn't crumble under Pharaoh's looks. And I want my husband Ed to come because a lot of you haven't seen him. But that's one of the defining scriptures for my husband, Ed. I mean, this man, He's got a really hard forehead. And when people will pray over him, they'll say, I see a diamond in your forehead, like a diamond point. And I just laugh because I know what that is. It's the word God said, I'll make your forehead hard against their foreheads. It says, I'll make it of the hardest stone, and diamond is a very hard stone. And when he's got to go out with mission teams, no one moves this man. He doesn't shout. He's not arrogant. He's a very gentle person. You know, he's a compassionate man. But I want to tell you, the only one that moves this man is God. God's the only one. Thanks, honey. And that's where you want to be. And that's where you want to be. Because, I mean, God's going to bring you into the hard places. I want to go in the hard places. Do you want to go in the hard places? I mean, everybody's calls not the hard places. Anywhere where there isn't God is hard. But I want to go in those places. And that's how I was so moved when Brian spoke, because the Arab nations are emerging in Bridge for Peace. It's emerging in our hearts. Egypt, Pentecost, Egypt. We're praying that the Lord's putting Egypt in our hearts. We're going our first mission to Israel. We've been on pilgrimage. We're going mission in May. I was so moved. But God, everything we're doing now is for training for then. Everything we're doing, everything I've done in my life is for training, that God would give me something of value to bring to you tonight. You're the epitome of every place I've ever been. God's saying, yeah, I got to put something in you so that when you come here tonight, you've got something to give to them. This is the top. This is the height. I've never been at this height before, because I don't want to do something I did last year. You know, some people, they've been in ministry for 40 years and been still in the first year of ministry. They're giving the same talks everywhere they go. They're doing the same thing. I'm not interested in that. I have no interest in it. I want to advance. The kingdom of God is advancing. And I want to advance. I want to be at the forefront. And if you're going to be at the forefront, he's going to have to make your forehead hard. Not arrogant, not prideful, not vain, not self-promoting. But that we're only going to be moved by God, and we're not going to be moved by anything else. A blessed man once said, he who is intimate with God will never be intimidated by man. Right. Israelites, Numbers 14, is one of the saddest books, one of the saddest chapters. This is after the spies, you know, the spies went into the promised land to check it out. And then they came back, and they brought with them an unfavorable report. An unfavorable report. And because of that unfavorable report, even though the faithful men of God were saying, we should go up, we can take it, we can do it, this unfavorable support swayed the whole nation. The whole nation was swayed by these men that were afraid to go up against the what they called giants in the land, fortified cities that they saw. But the faithful ones said, but surely God will give it into our hands. But they said, no. We can't go. Why don't we go back to Egypt? What, are you trying to slaughter us? So then as a result, the Lord became angry. He said, I'm going to wipe them out. He became angry. And he said, and as a result of that, none of those men would enter the promised land. He would take them through the wilderness until there was that generation had died off. And then what happens? And that's where we want to pick up. 14, verse 39. When Moses told these words to all the Israelites, the people mourned greatly. They rose early in the morning and went up to the heights of the hill country, saying, here we are. Here we are. We'll go up to that place that the Lord has promised, for we have sinned. Here we are. Here we are. We'll go now. Oh, we don't want to pay that penalty. We'll go. We're sorry for what we say. We'll go. And what does Moses say to them? Moses say, why do you continue to transgress the word of the Lord? That will not succeed. Do not go up, for the Lord is not with you. They missed their opportunity. It's like the next day. It's like we came to our senses. We're ready. But he said, no, don't go. And if you know the rest of the story, they said they presumed. Verse 44, they presumed to go up. They presumed. They missed the timing. Now they wanted it in their time, and they presumed that God would be with them because it was the time they were ready. God wasn't with them anymore, and they were wiped out. Make sure you're in God's timing. Don't miss any opportunities. And you know, when the Lord is training us, and when he's training us, he knows sometimes we're going to miss an opportunity. Have you ever been in a church and your heart was pounding with a prophetic word and you didn't speak it, and then somebody spoke it off the other corner? You know, there's no condemnation in that. That's an affirmation for you. That's a private moment with you and the Lord to encourage you. You know, but as he trains us up and he teaches us, there's times when we can miss an opportunity. And I think I will tell you the story. I was hesitating, and it's a painful story for me. But Ed and I were in Hawaii many years ago, way back, and we had totally arranged by the Holy Spirit. We ended up trekking through the rainforest with a woman by the name of Amber, coming to a waterfall, a hidden waterfall that she knew about, sitting on a rocks, and we start to talk about Jesus, which is what we do. And she said, oh, she knew about Jesus. He was a great master. He had been to India and trained with the Sufis, and on, you know, all these things. So we shared with her about Jesus, really who he was. And I loved what Dr. John was saying. He's historical. You know, is there historical evidence of all these other religions that say they have these different gods, you know? But our Jesus, he's really true God and true man, and there's evidence that he walked on the earth. I mean, I was just touched when he was talking about that. So we're talking about Jesus. And then we left. It had taken us hours to trek in, and we were on the way out, and we had stopped at a place, and we had a circle of prayer. And the Lord said to me, now. And we had trekked a couple of hours in, and we'd only trekked about 20 minutes out. And the Lord said to me, now. And I thought to myself, well, we still have an hour or something out. Maybe I can talk to her a little more and maybe make it more favorable. So I missed that moment. And we broke the circle, and we started to walk out on the path. And with that, a gentleman from Canada came rushing up. He and his wife had been kayaking, and they had an accident, and his wife was seriously injured, and he'd left her on the bank. And Amber knew the shortcut out of the forest, and they left us. They went up the hill to hang on to trees and vines to get an ambulance. And I was never again able to talk to Amber. I missed an opportunity. God said now, but I thought there was a better time. I will never, 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 never miss an opportunity again. And I've tried to contact her through the years, and I've never been able to, but I pray for her. I pray, and I take that lesson that I learned, and I apply it. Even when we be in places, I tell you, there's no place on the face of the earth where we haven't baptized somebody in the Holy Spirit, because I don't wait. It's now. That's the timing. So I share that story much to my grief, much to my grief, and I hope that it will save you some. And when God says now, he knows what's going to happen in the next moment, and we just don't delay. They delayed. They thought their timing was better, and they were wiped out. Let's not delay. Let's be in God's timing. Let's not live a life with regrets, but let's get everything that he's got in mind for us. And perseverance. Perseverance. This is a scripture. You know, you read those scriptures. This is 2 Kings 13:14. You know, you read some scriptures. I don't know about you, but for me, I read some scriptures and I say, wow, well, that doesn't seem, I don't get it, you know, like, that seemed like a little harsh, or, you know, I just don't understand it. But then I stay with it, and I know someday the Lord will reveal it, and this is one I just got fresh, you know, just newly, he gave me revelation on it. And when I say, God, it was, of course, why didn't I see that before? 2 Kings 13:14. This is Elisha. Now, when Elisha had fallen sick with the illness of which he was to die, King Joash of Israel went down to him and wept before him, crying, my father, the chariots and of Israel and its horsemen. And now Elisha said to him, take a bow and arrows. So he took a bow and arrows. Then he said to the king of Israel, draw the bow, and he drew it. Elisha laid his hands on top of the king's hands. Then he said, open the window eastward, and he opened it. Elisha said, shoot, and he shot. Then he said, the Lord's arrow of victory, the arrow of victory over Aram, their enemies. For you shall fight the Arameans in Aphek until you have made an end of them. He continued, take the arrows, and he took them. He said to the king of Israel, strike the ground with them. He struck three times and stopped. Then the man of God was angry and said, you should have struck five or six times, and then you would have had total victory over all of your enemies. Now, I had always thought to myself, well, you know, how is he supposed to know that? You know, it was one of those, I thought, how is he supposed to know? I mean, I never got it. Well, finally, I got it. And I want you just to go back, look at it again. Elisha, verse 15, Elisha said, take a bow and arrow. So he took a bow and arrow. Then he said, draw the bow, and he drew it. Then he said, open the window eastward, and he opened it. Elisha said, shoot, and he shot. Then he says, take the arrows, and he took them. He said to the king of Israel, strike the ground with him, and he struck three times. Who told him to stop? Who told him to stop? Nobody told him to stop. Why was he stopping? Friends, that's a word for you and me tonight. Who told you to stop? You know, I keep telling, we have some people at home that struggle. Many people struggle, but some people who struggle in an extraordinary measure. And I say to them, you have to just keep doing what God told us to do, day in, day out, day in, day out, day in, day out. You do what God put in front of you to do. You don't stop until God tells you to stop. I guess it's my hard-heartedness that I read that so many times and never got it before. You know, I always thought, gee, I don't get it. How, you know, how does the guy know he's supposed to stop it five or six times? But he was not supposed to stop until someone told him to. That's a word for you and a word for me tonight. Don't stop. You've got to move. And you've got to keep moving. No matter how difficult it is, if God has not given you another word, you keep moving in the last word you heard from him. If you don't have another word, you know, sometimes it's like, well, I keep going to this prayer meeting, and I don't feel like going anymore, and I don't think I'm getting anything out of it, you know, so I keep going, but you know what, I don't think I'm going to go. If God told you to go to that prayer meeting, God will tell you when to stop. You don't have to worry about it anymore. Just say, yes, sir, I'm on the road. Tuesday night, I'm there, whenever it is. Because if he told you to go, he'll tell you when to stop. And a lot of times we're like, oh, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Well, what did God tell you to do? Stomp the arrows on the ground. But I decided to stop. I mean, I got a little tired. Just keep moving. Just keep going. And, you know, the king of the universe is directing our course. We are following him. We're following him. When he stops, I stop. When he sits, I sit. When he stands, I stand. So we don't have to say, Lord, should I sit now? If he's not sitting, we're not sitting either. All right? It's really simple if we could die to our flesh. It's really simple. If we could want his way and not my way, it's really simple. Don't miss the time of God. Don't postpone life. Don't postpone your life. Don't miss the time of God by stopping. Don't postpone your life. You know, I had a great advantage because when I was in my late teens, I was a director in a nursing home. And so I got life perspective from people who were in their 90s. And mostly what I heard them say is, I'm sorry I never took the trip. I'm sorry I never did this. I'm sorry I never did that. And actually, friends, where I was, there was a man there on a feeding tube, and his family was feeding him lobster through the feeding tube. I think you get the message. Eat lobster now. You know, don't delay. While you can taste it, while you can enjoy it, while you can give God glory for it, give him glory, because Revelation 4:11 says that you were made for his pleasure. And when you enjoy his creation, he's taking pleasure in you. Don't delay. Don't postpone. Today's the day. We've got to move. We've got to move. You've got to move. You've got to move. You've got to move. When God is ready, you've got to move. You've got to move. And just one more place I want to go tonight, friends. And that's John 11:43, the story of Lazarus. John 11:43. The story of Lazarus called out of the tomb. 11:43. When he had said this, he cried. This is Jesus. When he said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Jesus said to them, "Come out, Lazarus, come out." And then he said to them, they're looking at Lazarus. He came out. He's out of the grave. But he's wrapped up in burial cloths. He's out of the grave. And he looked at the people and he said, "This man is alive today. But you take the burial cloths off him." And friends, so many people that come to Christ and they're alive, but we keep them buried in that old pattern. We don't take the burial cloths out. We remember them the way they used to be, and we keep them bound up. But God wants us to take the burial cloths off of them. But before that, we have to take them off of ourselves. We can't do for anyone else what haven't been done for us. And last night when Pastor Jacques was preaching, what were you doing last night, Pastor? Whatever was happening here last night, under the anointing, those of us that were here, there were stacks of burial cloths all over the sanctuary here. And where's that beautiful lady who praises the Lord with those colorful ribbons? I saw those ribbons of praise. Those burial cloths became ribbons of praise. And why? Because people were moving. They were moving. And it's important that we move, and it's important that we come forward, and it's important that we dance. But the biggest movements that we will make are heart movements that no one will ever see. And if you are still bound, if you've been resurrected through the power of the Holy Spirit, but there's still burial cloths in your heart, tonight's the night to take them off. And if you need any help, you've got helpers right here. We're here tonight to remove all the burial cloths. You're alive, and you're able to move. But I don't think that Lazarus could move too well with those burial cloths still around him, even though he was alive. And he was empowered. He'd been brought up from the dead. We all identify with that. We've all been brought up from the dead. Everybody here been brought up from the dead, resurrected. But still, there's those places where we're bound. Don't you want to turn them into streamers of praise tonight? I loved it when they were worshiping tonight. I'm walking. Can we worship with that song? Can the worshipers come? I'm walking. I'm walking. I'm walking. But you can't walk in the burial cloths. We want to walk. And, you know, I thought it was awesome. You know, it says, Father, do you see me walking? Lord, do you see me walking? Well, we want to say tonight, devil, do you see me walking? You thought you had me bound. I'm under the resurrection power. I've been translated from death into life, but you thought you still had me bound. And tonight, those burial cloths are coming off. And I want to tell you that the Lord gave me a vision many years ago. And it was a vision about the church. And it was a beautiful church with beautiful polished wooden floors. And people there were dressed very properly. And the man who was one of the leaders in the church was sitting in the front row. He had very shiny shoes. I remember that, especially shiny shoes. And what happened in a moment was those floorboards in the church upended. There was a great sound, like a great shattering, a great shaking of the Lord, and the floorboards of the very church upended, and there was a pit, and that was the first man to slide down, the one in the very shiny shoes. Because the Lord said, and everyone in the church was saying, not him, not him, not him. And they were going too, because the pews were upending, and they were going too. And the Lord said, it's because they know my name. They know the name of Jesus Christ, but they're living under the old covenant, trying to do it by rules and regulations. They know my name, but they don't know the new covenant. They don't know what I did for them. They don't know what happened at the cross. They don't know the inheritance they received by my blood, an inheritance for healing, deliverance, salvation, and provision. And because they don't know those things, they're calling me Lord, but they're living in the old covenant. We've been resurrected by the power of Christ, and we're going to live in the new covenant. We're going to live under what he's given to us through the cross and the power of his blood and the power of his resurrection. We've come out of the tomb, and today we're declaring to the enemy that we're taking off the cloths. I want everybody to get up and start moving around. Would you lead us in walk? I want everybody to get up, start walking. Come on, let's have a victory parade. Let's get out of those chairs and start walking. Let it be a sign to the devil that you're walking, that you came out of the tomb, but maybe you've been stationary even though you're out. You're just out and you're standing there at the edge. But tonight you're going to start walking, walking. And as you're walking, you're saying, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. So start walking for your blessing. Start walking for your blessing. Give God glory because he can walk. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Walking for you tonight, Lord, because you set us free. We're going to walk as a testimony. We're going to walk as a sign. Going to walk, we're going to move, going to dance, we're going to praise. Jesus. Worshippers go in first. In every battle, the worshipers go in first. And that's what you've been doing here tonight. Victory in the house tonight. Thank you for worship leaders. You know, I was just reminded of a time of instant obedience when we were in Brazil the last time. And we were sharing on fruits of the Spirit. And Sally shared on the fruit of love. And we had a team of nine, and each one was supposed to share on the fruit of the Spirit. But she talked about a march for love all over the world. She was the first speaker. I had eight more to introduce. And the Lord said, let the people get up and let them march and show how they love me. I had to make a decision right then. And I went for instant obedience, and we had that. And what happened was, there was a lady there told me 3 nights later she'd had chemotherapy and she hadn't walked in 4 months. And that night she started walking when she got up to march for love for Jesus. And you tonight, as you started moving... as you started moving tonight to praise the Lord, things have happened already. Already the grave cloths are turned into these marvelous streamers all around us. We're interpreting the physical to see what's happening in the spiritual, as we heard today. We're interpreting this to see what's happening in the spiritual. But now tonight you've got a great opportunity. I don't know if Dr. John's got the energy, but Pastor Jacques is here, and Joe and Julie and Simon are here, and people. You know, we want to minister to you before you go home tonight, because this is the place of training. This is the place of risk. This is the part of impartation. This is the place to receive, because you got a lot of work to do when you go out there. Right? So we want to pray over anybody that wants prayer tonight. I'm just going to ask if everybody, the pastor and doctor, if you're up to it, just come on and line up here and let the people just come. Move. You got to move tonight. You got to move tonight. It's the Spirit's moving you. Sally's just reminding me that I didn't share with you these things that the team worked so hard to put together. I'm talking to you now, not as a salesperson, but a minister of the gospel. Women, please, women, God esteems you. It's back there on our table. God esteems you. Please read the back cover. If you need it, please get it and share it around. It's a time when the devil's attacking women in self-esteem. Please, arrest that thought. I'm telling you, it works. Arrest that thought. It works. Why? Because it's scriptural word of God, and the scriptural word of God works. So if you got thoughts spinning around in your head, the things that you think you'll eventually do, stop them when they're in your head. Arrest that thought. Power for living. Power for living. And count on God. These are all our brand new ones. They're all back there. The ladies are ready to talk to you about them. You know, we love you guys. This is the last time I'll be speaking to you this way, but I'm not going to be here to the very end of the conference. I don't want to miss a drop. So I'll be, you know, floating around with you, and I'm happy to speak to any of you as the opportunity comes. We love you in Jesus. I'm sure when we're finished here, people are going to be floating out the doors, and we won't get a chance to say goodnight. So God bless you. Receive big. Receive big tonight. When they're praying over you, don't be praying, be receiving. You can't send and receive at the same time. When they're praying over you, receive it, soak it in, get what you need, because God is here tonight to move on you. Amen. On you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Come on, receive prayer.